Runners from around the world are on their way to Boston for the city's 121st marathon on Monday. Many of them have been training for years to run the race, but for some, it will be their first marathon. More than 500,000 people finished at least one U.S. marathon in 2015, according to the group Running USA. 49% of those runners were at least 40 years old, a record high percentage. So, if you're thinking of running your first marathon, how should you go about training for it? To help answer that question, we're joined by exercise physiologist Susan Paul. She's training program director and coach at Track Shack in Orlando, Florida. Susan, welcome.
Thank you.
So, you have trained hundreds of people for marathons. How common is it for you to see someone who has not been a lifelong runner or maybe hasn't run in years saying that they want to run a marathon?
It is very, very common. We have a huge training program here in Orlando, and we see anywhere from 500 to 600 runners throughout a year that I will coach, and many of them are first-time runners. And just like your statistics, many of them are 40 years old or older. Some have run previously, maybe way back in high school. Others have maybe never run at all.
And do you ever tell them, you know, maybe a marathon is a bit much. Why don't you try a 5K?
Well, by the time they come to me, they typically are ready for a marathon. I also coach a beginner program, so I like it that we have sort of stages in our programming, and I can take someone from that 0 to 5K level, get them ready to run that 3 miles. Once you're at 3 miles, I like to start gearing people to marathon training if that's what they choose. But along the way, yes, absolutely, I will encourage them to do a 10K, a half marathon, so that they will have run some intermediate distances before they do get to that marathon distance, so they begin to get a feel for what they're in for and what all those miles really mean.
Well, how long does it take a true beginner to really prepare to run a marathon?
I would like to have someone for anywhere from even 7 to 9 months. Because those first few months that people enter training, it is really important to go slow and set a very good base for conditioning. That's usually where most people will drop out because of injury or they get burned out. So you want to take it easy and give their body time to adapt to all these many, many changes that they're going to now have to make.
Well, you mentioned injury, and I want to ask you about that because I feel like out of all the people that I've known who have run marathons, a lot of them have gotten injured in the process, usually of training for the marathon. What are the most common injuries that people face, and is there a way to avoid them?
Well, I think the most common injuries kind of depend on where you are with your training. If we're talking about beginners, shin splints are very common, and many times they are just part of the conditioning process. And again, that's where we want to go slow at the beginning. For a more experienced runner, oftentimes hamstring pulls are one of the most common injuries that I see. And a lot of times that's because they're trying to get faster. So not only are they working on increasing their distance, they're also trying to do it faster. And sometimes we just overtax the system. I think it goes along the lines with, you know, we never know our limits until sometimes we cross them. So I like to use injuries as training tools and to realize that, okay, we need to back off from where we were and we need to take it slower and rebuild. And I think that's also where equipment is very important. Running shoes are integral to anyone's success, whether you're a beginner or an advanced runner. And you do need to be in the right shoe for you based on your biomechanics and your gait, and then runners are going to have to replace them often and probably more often than we would like, but they do wear out and we've got to be in good gear to complete, especially the marathon distance.
Do runners that you've worked with who get injured and then can't run the marathon and maybe have to spend months on crutches or whatever the case may be, do they regret having done it in the first place?
Never. That's the funny thing. I love the saying that I've never gone on a run that I regretted. No matter what happened, I think that once you get a runner to the point where they are training, especially for the marathon distance, they pretty much are in love with running, and we really can't wait to get back out there. And I think often that's why doctors will get frustrated with us because we're not their typical patient. You know, we come in and they'll say like, okay, you know, you've got a stress fracture. And we're like, okay, yeah, but can I still run my marathon on Saturday? we want to get better. We want to be out there and we're very, very motivated. So I think that I tell people that it's time to rebuild. You know, the system broke, so it's time to rebuild it. So rebuild your body. Look at this injury as a way to rebuild a better body for the next time around. So, you know, many times that may involve physical therapy or cross training. You know, maybe you can ride a bike when you can't run. Maybe you can swim when you can't run. So you can still maintain your fitness level and then ease back in into the running.
Let's say you ran a marathon last year. Do you have to train again to run it again this year?
Absolutely. Fitness is constantly changing. It doesn't really stick around. So many people will run a marathon. We need to recover. And I think that's one mistake a lot of runners make is they don't give themselves enough recovery time after the marathon. You really do need to take about 3 weeks of going easy, really maybe even not running at all, but running very slow, very short. Let your body rest, and then you've got to rebuild and go through that whole building up of increasing in mileage gradually all over again. Now, it does get a little bit easier in that sense of you don't have that early conditioning phase to go through because you have that base conditioning, but you do have to rebuild to that distance over and over again. And in part, I think that's the allure for a lot of runners is because our bodies are never static. Fitness is never static. So every time we train for a marathon, it's different. You know, maybe your nutritional needs are different. You know, you're more fit, so maybe you're going to be faster. Maybe you're trying to qualify for Boston this time around. Maybe you want to set a personal record. So there's all these little things that we can kind of play with and change up our training a little bit. So it's never the same.
Out of all the people that you've trained for marathons, would you say that most of them listen to music while they're running, or do they go just with their ears open to the air beside them?
I encourage them to go ears open for a lot of reasons. I, you know, listening to music, I think, is great, but I think primarily it belongs in the gym. When you're running outside, which is primarily where I train people, we run outdoors, and you need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to listen for traffic. You need to listen, you know, for people around you. And also, since we're group training, you're running in a group of people. So I think it's kind of isolating if you sign up and you're running in a group of like 20 people, but you stick in your headphones. I think basically you're kind of saying like, hey, you know, I'd rather listen to my music than talk to you. So we really encourage people for safety reasons not to wear headphones. But the other thing I think is really important is one of the best appeals to running, I think, is that we have to tune into our bodies. And especially in today's world that's so high tech, you need to listen to your breathing. You need to listen to your footfalls. If your feet are slapping the ground, if you're huffing and puffing, you need to know that and become very aware of that. So the time that you spend running, I think you really need to tune into yourself, listen to how you feel, you know, have those feelings. Maybe you are in pain. You don't want the music to mask anything. And so I really encourage runners to go without headphones.
What would you say is the one common misconception you hear over and over again about training to run a marathon?
That it's easy. You know, anybody can run a marathon. Now, not everyone will qualify for Boston, but anyone really can run a marathon if they want to. But they really do have to want to. And I don't care how slow you are. It's still hard. 26.2 miles is a long way. It's still going to be tough. You have to train just the same as, you know, if you're a 15-minute miler, your training is essentially going to be the same as someone that maybe is a 6 or 7 minute miler. As the saying goes, a 12-minute mile is just as long as a 6-minute mile. And so you have to be prepared for that.
When was the last marathon you ran?
Oh, it's been several years ago. I have basically shifted more to the half marathon distance at this point in my life. I've been a runner for well over 40 years, and I find that the half marathon is just a little bit gentler and kinder to me, but that's not to say I won't do another one. I just haven't found one that that I wanted to do yet. So I do a lot of half marathons.
You know, the 5K is even gentler and even kinder.
Yes, it is. It is. And that, you know, maybe that'll be my next, you know, my next distance.
That's Susan Paul, who is a training program director and coach at Track Shack in Orlando, Florida. Susan, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.